It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Terrence Ferguson. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. Cody, it's a big day. We just got done with another weekend of big camp action, following up on NFL training camps and keeping up to date with all that stuff. You're about to get on the road to do some traveling, which is going to include some training camp stuff. Byron was just at Tampa Bay camp. We have Trashman traveling this week. That also includes some training camp stuff. So we're getting in the swing of it. We're going to have live reports that hopefully you saw on the channel this week. And if you're listening on podcasts, we're referring to the YouTube channel. You saw Byron's update from Tampa Bay Bucks camp. So, and if you missed it, make sure and go check that out. Also, just a couple quick notes before we get started. Speaking of the YouTube channel, we are closing in, and thank you guys for this. We're closing in on 20,000 subscribers, and to celebrate, we're going to be giving away two free pro memberships at rosterwatch.com, annual pro memberships at rosterwatch.com. So keep an eye on our X account. We'll be tweeting that out a little bit later here on Monday, and all you got to do is, you know, if you're subscribed to the channel or whatever, you can just retweet the tweet, and we're going to pick two random winners, and we're just to say thank you. And thank you guys a ton for liking the show, subscribing to the channel, and for getting us to, you know, quickly up to 20,000 subscribers. It's awesome. One other quick thing, the cheat sheets are all live up at rosterwatch.com. Make sure and go check those out. The only tool that you need to dominate your fantasy football draft. And from there, with a pro membership, going right into week one, we'll have the content schedule posted soon. But we're going to have answers to all your questions. We're going to help you with all the advice that you need, man. Don't ever get stuck on a Sunday morning worrying again about who to sit and who to start or what kind of prop bets you want to make, pick 'em slips, DFS lineups, whatever. We're going to be completely covered from, you know, Cody, myself, Trashman, Byron, the whole crew over there. Rosterwatch.com, go get a pro membership. And also keep an eye out for the tweet today as we're giving away two free pro memberships to say thank you for getting us to, or hopefully getting us to 20K. I hope we get there. We're not quite there yet. Cody, training camp, we're not quite to the games yet, but you can feel it in the air. What are some of your biggest takeaways after we're now through, what are we, through 2 weeks of this now? It's like we're basically through 2 weeks.
2 weeks down. Guess one big thing coming out of last week I thought was interesting. I guess we can just start it with our own Byron Lambert, who was in Tampa. He went down there and you know, had glowing remarks for Emeka Egbuka, comparing his calves to Ja'Marr Chase and Steve Smith. Said Mike Evans had some uncharacteristic drops. Obviously, Godwin's not practicing right now. The Emeka role should be growing, but I thought the most notable thing he said was that Bucky Irving maybe wasn't going to end up being it wasn't just going to be a Kyron Williams situation where he leads the league in opportunity share, because Rashad White was going to have something to do with it, and he's going to be a little bit of a pain in the keister for Bucky Irving. And I think that's you know, a little, I think there's some value in the Rashad White side of the conversation this year, because no one's thinking or talking about him. And Byron goes there and says, you know, it's pretty much a clear start. Like, you can tell Sean Tucker's taking some steps forward, but it's still clearly a pecking order with Bucky and Rashad down to Sean Tucker. Also, Dan Graziano from ESPN had a nugget out today, or a training camp buzz news, whatever you want to call it. He says that Bucky Irving is viewed as special enough to warrant high-end high volume RB1 role, including pass catching work, which would technically be contradictory to Byron's analysis of being there in person, eyes on the prize. I tend to trust Byron because Byron's been looking for these things for more than a decade. He's done pretty well with it. I don't know. I don't think you want Bucky Irving in that role.
How long can he hold up in that role? You gonna bang Bucky Irving? I mean, between the tackles and use him in the. Here's the thing: is that Rashad White is like
225 pounds.
And it's funny. It's like the roles that these guys play within the offense. It's like feels like opposite day kind of. It feels like Bucky Irving should be in the role that Rashad White plays, and Rashad White should be the banger between the tackles. But that's just not how their skill sets are. And I think that Rashad White. It's not just from Byron that you've heard it. It's like you hear it from the team whenever you hear interviews from these guys at the training camp live, all this. You hear Baker Mayfield. He talks about the 1-2 punch that they have and how they feel like they have two of the best running backs out there. I find it interesting because the Rashad White right now in PPR is going off his running back 41. And it's just over the course of the last two seasons, and I know that does include one season without Bucky Irving, but there's always been other backs there that have been complimentary to Rashad White. He brings this floor, which has been like that other backs being drafted in his area just don't bring. Yeah. He's only gotten you in standard and in PPR, both of them. He's gotten you in standard. He's gotten you a score of less than 7 fantasy points. So just a bust of a week, one that could lose you a week. Only 28.75% of the time over the last 2 years. He's gotten you the same thing in PPR, over 10 fantasy points per game. Or less than 10 fantasy points per game. He's only done it 28.57% of the time. So just over a quarter of the time he busts for you, one out of every 4 games. That's actually really good considering the guys that he goes around, like Zach Charbonnet, right? Zach Charbonnet busts 2/3 of the time in standard, 63% of the time in PPR.
Line's in a significantly different tier as well.
What?
And Charbonnet's offensive line's in a significantly different tier.
Sure. But even guys like Tajay Spears, you look at a 29% bust rate versus a 72% bust rate. Guys like even guys that have been in kind of good situations, like J.K. Dobbins, he's been a 40% bust rate guy. Javonte Williams goes as running back 35. He's been a 60% bust rate guy. Travis Etienne, Travis Etienne's busts between 40 and 43% of the time, depending on whether it's PPR or whether it is standard. Jaylen Warren goes 10 running back spots ahead of Rashad White. He busts 65% of the time. Like, we're talking about is he the ultimate ceiling play? No, but is your running back 4 or running back 5, especially in PPR? I think things still tick up for Rashad White. Did you find it interesting that Byron said that he thinks that Emeka Egbuka looks really good and he loves him and thinks he's a great prospect and all that, but he's like, man, the target volume, even with no Chris Godwin, just hasn't been very good. Does that concern you at all?
No, because he added one thing in there. Baker Mayfield was not there.
Yeah, well, that's very true.
And I talked to Byron. Byron's going to potentially try and get back for the – they also have Tennessee as a joint practice at home in Tampa. I was going to try and get to that Tampa-Pittsburgh one, but Tampa's going to be hosting Tennessee, so he'll get to see, hopefully – a healthy Baker Mayfield paired with Emeka, as well as a Cam Ward situation that we've talked about on previous shows.
Yeah, I should have thought that some of that stuff that you see, it's like, who? What is that, Kyle Trask?
It's Kyle Trask and Emeka don't have a great relationship. I mean, shocker. He's only been there for, you know, X amount of time, and he's, you know, he's Kyle Trask. He's not Baker Mayfield.
And Trask stinks. What do you think? Is Nick Chubb going to stink? Is he going to be a bust? You had the article from the Texans Wire. This dude, Cole Thompson, that's been out there at Texans camp. And I can't wait to hear what Trash Man says from Texans camp. But he says that Nick Chubb's burst is, quote, nowhere to be found. And then you had D'Amico Ryans asked about Chubb. I believe this was yesterday. And he says, when it comes to Chubb how I'm comparing him, you know, guy's age. He's been through a lot. It's not always going to be the same as his early years in the NFL. But what I hang my hat on with him is he's a guy that loves football. He's physical. He plays the right way. He prepares himself the right way. Really sharp guy when it comes to the protection scheme. He's on it. He's helping out the guys. So,
not exactly the, you know.
I haven't got my eyes on Nick Chubb yet. I've seen some clips from Nick Chubb yet, or I've seen some clips from Nick Chubb only. I've not got my eyes on him. Don't know if I'll be, I don't think I'm going down to Texans camp. I'm glad that we're sending Trash Man, but we'll just see how we'll have him see how much juice this guy really has. I just don't know what to think about the whole Texans deal at all. I was interested in maybe getting Nick Chubb in that area of drafts where
very much
he's not expensive at all. I mean, like you could probably get him and, you know, you could probably risk him being really not that good. He's going around the same time as guys like Ray Davis and, you know, Trey Benson and Tyler Allgeier, Bashaul Tuten, who feel, though he's been injured, but it feels like.
So that's, I mean, a little bit later than in half then. That's interesting.
Yeah. A lot of the yeah. So that's the PPR, yeah. Average ADP. He's going around then, right? Whereas in that area, running back 48 or so, you got Jaden Blue is running back 44, Rashad White running back 42, even guys like Braylon Allen running back 53, Dylan Sampson running back 54. These are all guys who they're sandwiched all around Nick Chubb. That if these reports keep coming out that he just looks so bad, it's like, I know that we say the opportunity cost isn't that high because he's such a late pick, but when you consider the fact that the, you know, those are the rounds where you want to be taking shots on those types of players, right? The opportunity cost does become a little bit higher because those are players, you know, I covet the Rashad Whites and I certainly covet Jaden Blue, right? I would like to take last round flyers on Braylon Allen, Dylan Sampson, Roschon Johnson, these types of players. So when we say the opportunity cost is low because it's a 13th, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th round pick, last pick right before kickers and defenses, well, like, technically, yeah, it's a low opportunity cost because it's a late pick. But those late picks are places that we've established that we could take shots on these guys that we're actually really excited about.
Yeah, my whole premise in the, you know, the half and standard sheet, which I think, you know, is one that would lean more toward more into Nick Chubb's, you know, talents, which is a between the tackles grinder, a guy that we know can take 200 plus carries, was based on the fact that there's no Joe Mixon. And behind him, it's
Woody Marks
and Damian Pierce is still on the roster type of situation. Like this is, it was like if Nick Chubb was going to have a Nick, this was the time to do it. I know the offensive line isn't great, but what is one of the easiest ways to get an offensive line to cohesively come together? It's the run game. Because the run game, run blocking is the easier than pass blocking. So you would think it would all start with the run game, but now that you hear that Nick Chubb, you know, isn't quite Nick Chubb, then that just makes me completely out on the idea of taking him in the 11th or 12th round. Then, like you said, you kind of just make that automatic pivot to the Jaden Blues that we were already in on, the Rashad Whites even a little bit more. I'm sort of interested in Isaac Garendo. I got a question for you about this Niners backfield here in a second, but pivot toward Isaac Garendo even a little bit. Like you said, like Ray Davis, Trey Benson, Braylon, there's a lot more youthful explosiveness and youthful upside and
those are the picks you want to make at the end, man. You like, you right, you want,
and that's the thing, like generally that's where we're going. The reason for me though with Nick Chubb was like, well, this is the one dude in this pile of guys that if there's no Joe Mixon, he's the starting running back. Like yeah. You can't say that for all these guys. That's the thing, like you're wish casting starting roles for, you know, Jaden Blue and Trey Benson and Braylon Allen, whereas like Nick Chubb had that, so that was why that was there. But now that we know he's not, you know, even 80% of what Nick Chubb once was, I think you got to be out on him. But
it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you. Wayfair, every style, every home.
Can I ask you about this Niners thing? Because I read this the other day, and it kind of had me in an interesting place of mind. I think the visits took – so this was obviously from last week because we're – this is, you know, the biggest things from last week.
Jeff, I heard about D'Ernest Johnson visiting.
Jeff Wilson and D'Ernest Johnson visited the Niners last week, and I just instantly go, like, what? Wait, hold up, because They have Isaac Garendo behind McCaffrey, and they also drafted Jordan James.
Yeah.
What am I missing here?
What do you mean? What are you missing? Like, are you concerned? Like, I think that depth behind Christian McCaffrey feels a little bit concerning. It's like those are the main guys, Garendo and Jordan James. I think they also have – didn't they bring in – like, I think they have like Amir Abdullah.
Who is –
I think Patrick Taylor Jr. is still on the roster. What?
Amir Abdullah, special teams ace. They got – I think they got Corey Kiner from Cincinnati, who's a Shrine Bowl guy, who was pretty solid. Like, again, not special, but Corey – I would take Corey Kiner today over Dearness Johnson or Jeff Wilson, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it. I just
wonder if that has more to do with the Garendo Jordan James thing than the overall depth. That's kind of why I thought it was interesting.
I kind of think that the deal is you need four that can be, they can actually play. I'm not sure Kiner can play. And like the whole Patrick Taylor Jr., like, come on.
He's bounced around enough. We know that's not going to.
Yeah. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I've been really encouraged by all the kind of hype around Christian McCaffrey. I've been encouraged by it. I've been encouraged when George Kittle says that this guy's going to be, he's going to change the offense for us this year, especially coming into the season with, Juwan Jennings has re-aggravated that. God, what was it? Was it a calf? I forgot what it was. It was bugging him during OTAs. Yeah. Something.
Same leg that bothered him in the offseason.
And, it's been kind of a, Ayuk, we don't know when he's going to be back. Looks like Ricky Pearsall is, making some solid moves back to get back on the football field and stuff. But that whole wide receiver thing seemed weird. Who knows if that'll linger into the season. I think McCaffrey will be a focal point from early on. I've forgotten exactly what his schedule looks like to start the year. But, this is why. His start to the year is one of the fastest starts that we have because he goes at Seattle at first, but then after that, his next three games are all projected top eight matchups on the matchup tool at New Orleans, at home versus Arizona, and then at home versus Jacksonville. That could be, you always say they're going to save McCaffrey for the end, and maybe that's the case. But if these wide receivers are banged up to start the year, like those are going to be games where McCaffrey could go off. And, even if you do get worried that there's a stretch through the middle of the season, particularly starting at week five through week 10, where he has to play the Raiders twice, or I'm sorry, the Rams twice. And then he's got to play Tampa Bay in that stretch. He's got to play Houston in that stretch. So one, two, three, four out of those six games are all against bottom eight matchups for opposing runners. It's like it could be a time where maybe after that Jacksonville game, if you think it's all right, it's time to start shutting down Christian a little bit and saving him up for the playoff run. Maybe, instead of the 19 touches we'd be giving him these first couple games where it was peaked at like 24 in one game or something like that, we scale him back down to 13 to 16 touches and we get Isaac Grindo in here for some to keep him healthy. It could be a good time to maybe think about trading him after week four, coming into that stretch. So I don't know. I think that I'm not worried about any of these running backs that are visiting the 49ers. It's a real circuitous way of getting there, but I'm not worried at all. You talked about how we're wish casting with Jaden Blue, but look, man, this the way that the situation's presented itself at this point, it's looking like it's turning into a decent run out for Jaden Blue here. Because he's working in more and more with the first team. He's going to see more action this week because Miles Sanders got banged up with a knee on Saturday. And so they're saying that he's going to miss a little bit of time. Now they're saying, he's going to miss a few days, but you never know how that stuff's going to go. They were saying the same thing about Deuce Vaughn to start camp, and he's still out with a hamstring injury. So Miles Sanders and Deuce Vaughn both missing time this week, just as Jaden Blue is starting to get more run with the first team. Schottenheimer this weekend says that he's a larger Darren Sproles, and he says, I don't take that lightly to say it. I don't make that comparison lightly.
Wait, he called Jaden Blue a bigger Darren Sproles?
Yeah, I think. Unless
I thought Deuce Vaughn was Darren Sproles.
Well, Schottenheimer didn't have anything to do with with drafting him. Let's see, Darren Sproles. Let me see where I saw that.
I mean, that's elite praise. That's, I mean, I mean, gosh.
Schottenheimer, the quickness and the ability to accelerate into the hole is just different. He's got incredible lateral agility and quickness. He reminds me of a larger version of Darren Sproles. That's on Jaden Blue. And then you had the offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams. He's been gushing over him. He's saying that when the ball is in his hands, exciting things keep happening and that he's definitely blossoming. So, and this is coming at a time as he's starting to get more work with the ones is Jaden Blue, and at a time wherever Miles Sanders and Deuce Vaughn are going to be out of practice for a few days here. Like he's getting some runway for a little bit of a run out here. Dude, I know it feels like wish casting to say this about him. And I know that there could be inherent bias to it, considering that, you know, we also cover the Longhorns and we've watched Jaden Blue a lot and we have a lot of information about the guy. But typically I'm usually good at setting those things apart. But I mean, having watched him so closely, I know that Jaden Blue is really darn good and he's really fast and he can catch and he's explosive and he's a dynamic guy. Everything Schottenheimer said, the lateral agility, the quicks, the twitch, it's like it's all there. And it's just not with Javonte Williams. It's certainly not with Miles Sanders. And that's been the thesis this whole time. I just wondered, like, now that it seems like it's playing itself out, I don't want to get I don't want to get behind on Jaden Blue. Whenever you're running your cheat sheet, Sims, are you still getting him a lot?
Yes.
Okay. Because
get a good group of them. And to be honest with you, it's like
getting a little harder.
It's getting tiny, but his ADP is still in the like early 130s. So it's still a spot where you get to the 11th round. And I mean, I'm still working on an update right now, but it's like before I moved Chubb down, it was like Chubb, Blue, Abuka. Abuka's now moved up quite a bit. But that was kind of the conversation.
I don't think you could take Emeka Egbuka before you take Jaden Blue cross positionally.
Oh, you have to now in half. Ibuka's up to 116 in half, and Blue's at 131.
Ibuka's
moved up a clean maybe 10 or 11 spots.
I don't even know what the. It's like these things change so fast in PPR with the ADPs, with everything in the simulators. But I just noticed when I was testing yesterday, if I had Egbuka above Blue, I would get all the Egbuka and I would never get Jaden Blue. So just whenever you're testing, just test that. Test it. Make sure you're not getting all the exposure to Egbuka and losing it on Blue, because things are changing with I'm just saying that he's a guy that we need to monitor to make sure that we keep getting as we make updates to these sheets. All right. Did you have anything else that you wanted to touch on?
I do, but you can go now.
Well, why don't you get yours out and then I'll go through mine just rapid fire. You can just give me your.
All right. I got three nuggets then. First off, the Darnell Mooney thing, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. He's been out for a week now. They said he was going to be out for a few more weeks. They signed DJ Chark to a 1-year contract on Friday. So we'll see. I'm planning to be in Flowery Branch in about a week and a half. So we'll see what DJ Chark looks like, if he's ramped up into that Mooney role at that point or if Mooney's back. The other one was Marshawn Lloyd, who was diagnosed with a groin injury last week, still has that groin injury, but it's not looked at as long-term. And then the final one I got is, we did this a year ago, and you got a clown nose put on your face by somebody on Twitter, and they reposted our video, and they made a little clown noise and stuff. Here's a tweet from one of our good friend reporters from Jacksonville, John Shipley. Are you ready?
Okay.
And I quote, "It is pretty clear how the Jaguars view their running back depth chart based on the totality of camp so far and then the scrimmage. Tank Bigsby opened the scrimmage with the starting offense and had several carries, including a 10-yard gain on his first carry. He also got a red zone handoff on the second and third drives with the starting offense. Travis Etienne stepped in. Etienne did not get a touch on that second drive. On the third drive, he had a carry that go for 0 yards and then one target on a screen from Trevor Lawrence. But Trevor Lawrence had to put it in the dirt. He then got a red zone carry to get the ball to the 3-yard line before being stuffed by Jack Kaiser. It looks more and more likely that Bigsby's chance to entrench himself as the number one running back is now.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't call us good friends with John Shipley, but certainly an acquaintance.
Why is he good friends? A good friendly Jaguar reporter.
Yeah. I mean, I like the guy. I'm not saying I don't. We always talk to him at the combine and stuff.
He's friendly.
Friendly.
Are you coming around then?
I don't know what you can take away from this report, except for the fact that, you know, I got to go into the cheat sheets and move Travis Etienne down.
Bigsby's 36 spots later in half.
Yeah, no, it's like, yeah. It doesn't feel to me. I mean, Lord knows, I'd probably do 200. I could probably tell you the exact number from the summary report, but I probably do 200 of these manual simulations every single day. And it's like, I know that sounds disturbing to most of you guys, but it's how we get the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft cheat sheet to where it homes and to where it works. You have to make these little micro adjustments to make sure you guys are leveraging ADP at each spot, and this, we're staying ahead of ADP and we're staying ahead of the news, right? That's the value of the tool. But one of the things that's always been important is we don't overreact to news. This has been a constant drumbeat, man. This tank Bigsby stuff. And I think that Cody's right. I don't think we're going to see these ADPs really converge like ships passing in the night. Right. I don't think we're going to see a flippening happen here unless we get some kind of major news that ETN gets hurt. Something that's actually like, you know, quantifiable that people can hold and touch, like Travis Etienne hurt his leg. Right. And now so everyone's going to go to Tank Bigsby. I just think that the name recognition of it, you know, Travis Etienne, I think that your average gamer is going to hold him in higher esteem and just have a better name, brand value, recognitions kind of thing with him. And we're talking about home leagues here, right? So I'm not going to go crazy about moving Bigsby up too much more. I kind of like him where I have him, and there are other players that I would rather. Well, at this point, do you like Bigsby better than like Rashad White?
Maybe a spec in half PPR and standard. Okay. Maybe just a smidge. But that's how the ADP is aligned as well. It's just a smidge.
Do you like? Okay,
I like blue over both of them.
Okay, so
and he's behind both of them in ADP.
So that's where I have him. I mean, I've been Tank Bigsby ahead of like Najee Harris and Ramondre Stevenson and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's where he belongs, you know, and I don't want to get a bunch of Tank Bigsby. He's never been my favorite player. I'm certainly not his favorite analyst. He's certainly retweeted some of the things that I've said about him in the past. With that being said, I do think now it's time, dude. I mean, the more I look at it, if I move Travis Etienne down even some, and if I were to tick up Bigsby even a little bit, these guys are going to be, if I move Bigsby up two spots, move Etienne down three spots, they're going to be back to back on the cheat sheet. And so, and you said the difference in these players is how many in the regular market?
Well, in half PPR, 36 spots.
So as usual, once again, the ultimate draft cheat sheet at Roster Watch, giving you today's news and today's analysis. 4 days ago when we made these most recent updates to the cheat sheets, and we're going to continue to stay ahead of it. With that being said, I'm not sure how much more I can move up Bigsby. I think this is more about having to get lower and just start to really turn the worry meter up on Travis Etienne.